Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
Hello, Kisifa. How are you, my friend? I am reporting live, tight and bright and unbothered by the storms and whirlwind situation we've had here in Essex. Over the past few days, I don't know whether you noticed, Chris, we've had some stinking storms. And we're recording this a few days in advance, as we always do, because there's always something coming up. You've always got something on that means you can't do a show. So we're recording this a few days in advance. And we've just gone through a pretty hefty storm. But my house is unbothered. The neighbour's wall fell down, but our fence panels are still very much in place. And everything's sweet. The sun's shining. It's lovely blue skies. It's looking pretty good, Chris.
You British with your weather talk nonsense. Oh. Not like me with my clever geopolitical talk and knowledge of all.
Yeah, I saw it.
Looks pretty rough, this weather.
Yeah. It was pretty heavy. And also this morning, I am obsessed with the fact. I asked all my neighbours and they said they didn't feel it, but I swear I felt a bloody earthquake this morning. A 1 second one. They just went blah, 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 blah. I swear there was an earthquake in Essex, because myself and my partner woke up at the same time and went, was that an earthquake? Because it just sort of like wobbled about and no one else in my street noticed it. So maybe it was just our house subsiding a little bit after the storms. So maybe in the next week our house may have fallen over.
Did you say you were in bed when it happened?
Yeah.
Earthquake.
Yeah.
Maybe the bed just got fucked. Maybe the spring went.
It was the whole thing. We both woke up at the same time and went, blah, blah, blah. I was like, what was that? Was that an earthquake? Oh, yeah, yeah. So
I think
I experienced my first earthquake this morning, even though none of the meteorological websites are telling me that there was an earthquake in Essex.
I actually, unlike you and your imaginary dream earthquakes while you're asleep, I actually felt a real earthquake last week.
Yeah.
I was doing a live stream with one of the world's biggest VTubers called Iron Mouse, really nice girl. She's doing one of these, like, what do you call it? A streamathon. A subathon, sorry.
Is Iron Mouse a cartoon? Is she a VTuber?
VTuber.
Avatar. Oh, what's a VTuber?
Yeah. She's a really nice girl. She's got an illness where she's basically has a really poor immune system, so she can't leave the house. But she's turned her life around through doing VTubing, and, you know, she's extremely popular, loved by all, and been able to make a career out of a bad situation. So really inspiring stuff. But while I was doing this live show with her, I felt an earthquake. She was telling me this quite powerful story, and I was like nodding along, and then suddenly I felt this really big jolt, and I was like, oh my goodness, and it nearly fell off my stool that I'm sitting on right now. And the whole bit, I've not experienced an earthquake in this building. I'm in the studio right now, the Abroad in Japan studio, and it's in a really old building that was built I think before even you were born. You know, so we're talking old building here. This is old.
Derby Road.
And you know, the buildings in Japan underwent like a big change in the mid-90s after the Kobe earthquake. This one didn't. So
that's not great, is it? All of your little trinkets will fall off the wall, Chris.
Well, somehow they didn't. So I was pretty happy about that. I don't know how big the earthquake was. I should probably have looked it up, but yeah, it was all right. I was just a bit scary, and it was a very horrible noise, and it reminded me why I don't like earthquakes that are real. Not a Pete yes. Dawson imaginary
no,
earthquake.
Chris,
this
I've
is the real
deal,
ladies and gentlemen.
So many times, and I've never experienced a single earthquake. I've been to Los Angeles, never experienced a single earthquake. But
really,
this morning, I swear, I experienced a little earthquake. Again, even though the websites that look after this sort of thing said that I didn't experience any sort of earthquake, so I don't know.
Definitely.
We did have an earthquake in Birmingham yesterday, 2.1 on the Richter.
2.1.
But
I don't get out of bed for anything less than a magnitude 7 earthquake.
That's big for us. That's 2.1. Big cheese, that is.
I just did a... So I'm in the studio, and I came here for a meeting this morning. It was supposed to be a quick meeting.
Yeah.
Get in, get out, have a meeting, have fun, then go off and go to the gym. And I was genuinely going to go to the gym. And then
Yep.
I discovered the meeting is actually tomorrow because time zones, and I still haven't mastered the art of time zones after a decade of being in Japan. So I just did this. I ordered a McDonald's, like you do, with 5 minutes to spare before the McMuffin menu disappeared for lunch. And then I did a live stream. And what was supposed to be like a quick, I'm having breakfast live stream, turned into like a 5-hour marathon where I took the camera around the studio, gave viewers around the world a whirlwind tour as I munched on my McMuffin. It was great. It was quite fun. But I was absolutely battered. And I didn't need to go to the gym in the end because the live stream probably burned more calories than running on a treadmill.
Yeah, I think I just checked out that live stream because I was surprised that you'd streamed pre-stream before this podcast.
And, pre-streamed.
One of the comments was, do you fart? So, Chris, you didn't read out that question on your stream. I'd like to know that question. I'd like that to be answered. Do you do a little Tommy Squeaker every now and again?
No.
Even with all that terrible food. I tell you what, Chris, I went out for a McPlant last night. I went, you know what? I really want a McDonald's, and I'm going to eat it in a reasonable hour in the evening when usually we eat McDonald's. And I had a McPlant, and it was all right. It's good. Decent. Not a bad bit of work for a McDonald's, have to be said.
What the devil's a McPlant? Certainly hasn't got here. Like vegan or vegetarian options just don't come to Japan. Yeah, they don't come here. They don't do it.
Yeah, it's just a wee burger. It's just a wee burger that's plant flavored and subsists consists of plants.
What is it? Is it actually like a burger made of soy or something?
Yeah, it's just a burger, but it's a vegetarian burger, a vegetarian patty, so to speak.
Ah, like a Beyond Burger or whatever it's called.
Delicious. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah. To be fair, I'm a skeptic of all this vegetarian, vegan, fake meat or whatever. But I have had some good ones. I did a video with Charlotte, I think 2 years ago. Went to Burger King in Kyoto.
Yeah.
Like you do when you go to Kyoto. It's the only thing to eat when you go to Kyoto. Enough of that traditional nonsense. Get me that Burger King. And I think it was a Beyond Burger they were doing something with, and I had it, and it was actually pretty good. And I remember thinking I could do this again. And I never
do
did.
This again, and I
because
never
Burger
did.
King.
Yeah, the Burger King. I think
exist.
I had the Burger King vegetarian burger like 2 years ago. I think, like, they came in quite early. I think the old veggie options over there. So decent. Like, no, I'll happily flirt with a bit of veggie food every now and again. It's nice to mix it up a little bit. And I find with like any new kind of plant replacement products, I do get the feeling that they work a little bit harder on the flavour. Because you can't rely on the meat to carry it, so to speak.
Well, I mean, you can get really good, like, there is a lot of vegan cuisine in Japan. It's slowly getting there. Like, the Buddhist monks have shojin nyori, which is basically like vegan cuisine, but like, there's restaurants popping up. I had some extremely tasty soy karaage chicken. I think if you'd given it to someone and not told them it was vegan, they would have, you know, they wouldn't have known. And the same goes for shoga, what's it called? Like a pork ginger, very popular thing. You can get this sort of fake soy pork marinated in ginger here, and it tastes amazing. You wouldn't be any the wiser. It's just unfortunately a bit expensive to prepare at home compared to the old stuff. But yeah, I think I could be swayed. As long as the food's good, I could become a vegan tomorrow afternoon. And we all know that's
plentiful.
A lie. Yeah. All right, we got a story this week from Mike. from the land of Seattle. It begins, hello, Chris and Pete. I'm Mike. I live in Seattle. My son, his wife, and 2-year-old daughter have lived in Kyoto for about 10 years. I have a story to tell that I call Almost Lost in Japan. It was a family trip to Japan in 2000, and I'd been there before, but this was the first time for my family of four, my wife, myself, and my two sons, aged 17 and 14 at the time. It was perhaps our best family vacation ever. Well, until our last day. We started our trip home to Seattle. We boarded the Narita Express at Tokyo Station, and the four of us were sitting together with seats facing each other. Our luggage was placed in the luggage storage area near our exit door, and we were about 2 or 3 rows back from the door. I was sitting next to my oldest son, facing the small electronic reader board display overhead, so I knew when we needed to get off the train. I was prepared. We were getting closer, maybe 5 minutes away, when I told my family to get organised and get ready to disembark. It sounds like, the way it's been written, this sounds like the D-Day landings, like when the fucking boats go up to Omaha Beach. 20 seconds! Anyway, he continues. I noticed my oldest son had taken his shoes off, and I could hear that he was listening to Led Zeppelin on his CD player. His headphones and the music could block me out, which actually may have been his primary objective. We arrived at Narita Airport. I told everyone to get up, grab your bags, and exit the train. We did. Or at least I thought so. Standing on the platform, I looked around and only 3 of us were there. I couldn't see Martin, my eldest son. I quickly looked through the train's window and there he was, still in his seat, eyes closed, headphones on and rocking out. I knew the train would depart in seconds and he would still be on it. This was 2000. We didn't have cell phones, God forbid. Where would he go? What would he do? How would we find him? Gee, I never thought about that. Like, we definitely take cell phones, mobile phones for granted, don't we?
Yeah.
Like, this is like this situation at first, I was like, this isn't a problem. Just send him a text message. Oh, wait, no phones. So what would we do? We'd never see him again. We'd certainly miss our flight, at least. The train doors started closing. I couldn't let the train leave, so I rushed the doors as they were closing and thrust my hands and arms between them and slowly pried the doors open. It was not easy to do, and it took all of my strength. I felt like the Hulk. Alarms, sirens, and bells went off. Red and yellow lights were flashing. The train and platform loudspeakers barked out what sounded like dire warnings in Japanese. It was obvious I'd violated numerous protocols and procedures. I probably disrupted the precise and tightly coordinated train schedules all across the island of Honshu. With the doors open, I rushed into the train, grabbed Martin's shoes, Martin's luggage, and of course, Martin himself, and dragged him out onto the platform. Standing on the platform, shoeless, Martin starts to loudly chastise me for humiliating himself in public. My youngest son came to my defence, which Martin doesn't receive very well. Pretty soon, we're all yelling at each other, and everyone on the platform was staring and backing away from us. The people on the train were glued to the windows, observing the scene with shock and confusion. I often wonder if, in the broad picture, the grand scheme of things, it would have been okay just to leave Martin on the train. After all, he ended up living in Japan anyway. He would have just started living there a few years
a little
sooner.
Earlier.
All the best, guys. Mike from Seattle. The Hulk, by all means. Wow, yeah. What an epic tale of power.
There is a Led Zeppelin track called Train Kept a Rollin'. So he could have just left him listening to. I do hope that it was that Led Zeppelin song that he was listening to, Martin. It's one of those things where it's like there's nothing more stressful than dad on holiday trying to look after a load of kids. There's no stress like it. People have to be on time, they can't dawdle, they can't go missing, and yet Martin just ignored all of that, just took his shoes off, just rocking out on the train. Beautiful.
I mean, what would have happened to Martin had he stayed on the train, God forbid?
He would have been
he's worrying, like, Japan. Well, it's a strange thing to think about that situation without mobile phones, right? We've become so accustomed to mobile phones that, like, life just must have been so bloody weird and different without them. Like, I vaguely remember the 90s when I didn't have a phone and it was a time of wonder and magic. You'd never look down at your phone. You'd never look at Facebook or Twitter, a funny tweet somebody did. You would be in the moment, living life, having fun with a big smile on your fucking face. Now you can't do that. Now you can't do that. You've got to sit there on your train and watch the Abroad Japan channel. And, you know, what's happened to the world? It's all gone downhill, hasn't it?
Yeah.
That's what, really that's what I'm saying.
Gone to the dogs, and all of those dogs have thoughts.
Dear, oh dear! But well done, nice little story there. I enjoyed that. It was well written. I could picture the imagery of the train doors being pried open, even though I'm fairly sure the train doors just open anyway, right?
If you put your hand in it. I would not want to take my kids to Japan. It's just too stressful anyway. I've taken friends and like nearly fallen out with them. It's really stressful because like they're belligerent. They don't know what's going on. They look to me to just sort everything out. They're late for everything. They get lost. Oh man, absolute rubbish.
Belligerent. It would be pretty stressful. Like we often get messages, don't we, from listeners, aka you, dear listener, saying that you want to come to Japan and bring your kids. I couldn't imagine a more stressful thing of all the countries to come to. Yeah. Good story there. Yeah. Good story. What we got though this week? What's the news?
What's the news? Well, look, Chris, if I know one thing about the Abroad Japan fan base, it's that like 80% of them really love cats. And 60% of them have cats in the house.
Wow.
So they're gonna love this story. This is absolutely right up the Abroad Japan channel fans' street, so to speak. So there's a restaurant in Osaka called the Diorama Restaurant Tetsudokan. It was forced to close March through September due to the coronavirus epidemic, obviously, pandemic. The managers even thought about shutting down the diner for good because they just weren't getting enough bums on seats and weren't getting enough interest, weren't getting enough patrons through the door. But what makes this cafe special is that there's a bloody great big train set right in the middle of the cafe. Proper middle-class dad weekends and evenings in the loft size train set. You know, it's massive. Rolling hills, babbling brooks, little fellas running around the platforms and stuff, all kinds of stuff. And the pictures are amazing. It's a really beautiful piece of work. But the owner of the cafe decided, for whatever bloody reason, she decided to drum up a bit of support for the cafe by letting loads of kittens loose on this diorama. So she took a lot of pictures, put them on the website, put them on the social medias and stuff for this cafe. And I mean, the pictures are incredible because the cats look like they're monsters. They look like, you know, proper, rotten King Kong, Mothra-sized beasts running around these kind of rural scene, tearing it up, knocking trains off the top of bridges into the water. And railway buffs and fans of cats and presumably fans of chaos and mayhem, they're flocking to the cafe now. It's really turned around the fortunes for this cafe. So all of these people are coming in and presumably they want food with cat hair in it. That's kind of what they're into. Ooh. But the owner, Naoki Taiaoka, is having to run maintenance on the diorama constantly because our cats, they used to be kittens and they didn't used to do too much destruction. Now they're big chonky cats, big chonky boys, so she's got to reinforce it every week. She's got to work on it every few days to make sure the cats aren't damaging it too much. But so you can go right now to a restaurant in Osaka and see a lot of cats smash the shit out of a railway set.
I mean, I think there's a lot of people, like, this is the sort of people that build these railway diorama sets are going to have a heart attack when they see these cats, like, stomping all over the railway set, smashing the trains, right?
They're going to be, anybody with passing interest in Hornby sets, they're going to be fuming that the cats have done this.
I love these. I am the sort of person who is going to build a train set. I joke. I nearly built one 2 weeks ago. Natsuki came here, right? And we had no idea what to do for a video. And we went to Yodobashi Camera, my favourite store in Japan, full of like, electronics and toys and whatnot. And there's a whole section for model railways, and it is insane. You can buy like a whole city, a diorama city, and get like a railway set. And I put it in a basket. I was going to buy it, and I was going to call it "We Built a City in a Day" or something, and build this amazing city, diorama sets, trains and shit. And then we didn't do it. We went to McDonald's. surprise, but like it's a lot of fun. This is a cool story. I saw this go viral like everywhere. Like if you just type in Osaka diner railway cats, you'll see like 1,000 news stories come up about it. But like it's a story about how to be clever at marketing above all, right? Like this diner about to go out of business, stick a few cats there, job done. This is the sort of like clever idea we would have had in Cat Nation. A documentary where I went around looking at cats, isn't it?
I mean, the guy who made that documentary must have been like, look, people love cats, people love Japan, people endure Chris Broad, let's bash them all together and put them in a show.
Well, in Cat Nation, there's that cat, Tama the cat, the station master cat. And a few stations have done this in Japan since, right, where, like, they get a cat, they put a hat on the cat, it's like fucking Dr. Zeus, and then people turn up from around the world. They'll come and take photos of a cat by a train. So if you want to be rich in this life, the formula is simple. Cats plus train equals money.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that the diner has discovered that, because I love a good diorama, and I'm glad that it's going to stay open now, and I kind of want to go down there and see it, because I haven't been to anywhere original in Osaka in a long time. I always go there and do the same few things. Now, I'm going to go to the Cat Diorama Cafe. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
So the thing about the cats running around the diorama, they only run around after the cafe is closed. So during the day, they put in the cages and the silver spoon, Little Boy Blue and the Man on the Moon, and they and then during the night they do their filming of the cats tearing shit up, so to speak. Very selective.
That is insane.
Yeah, it's mad.
All right. Probably a good idea. As someone who has ordered a pasta at a cat cafe and basically eaten a bucket of fur in the process, order food at a cat cafe. Order a coffee.
It's just the smell. Just always seems very warm. Very warm. Like, it just seems over warm. It's like the small monkey sanctuary in any sort of. Yeah, I just don't rate it. Don't really rate it.
You never went to the monkey bar, did you?
I didn't go to the monkey bar. No. I just know the air would be thick and sweet and not ideal. It's not conducive to having a nice meal. I think you want to know that it's going to be, you know, good food, minimal amounts of hair.
it's a good ethos to drive any restaurant enterprise. This monkey cafe, I took down the video, so a lot of you guys might not have seen it. Did you ever see it? Like when it came out, I think 2014, years ago, even before I met you. Did you ever see this video?
No, I didn't know.
I'll have to dig it out. I think I removed it. I took down a lot of my animal videos just because, you know, the treatment of animals in Japan is pretty questionable, and it dawned on me.
You know what? Maybe I did actually. Yeah, I can't. Yeah, the guy seemed to be, quite nice to his animal, though.
He was
exploitative, but you know, he was. I know people get upset about the sort of thing, but you know, I mean, they're going to get upset about everything, I guess.
I get people being unhappy about Fox Village or maybe certainly the Owl Cafe. That was the thing that always.
Right.
I went in there and filmed it, put that up. And the video did quite well, but I quickly regretted it, and I felt like a real sense of guilt, and I took that one down very quickly. But that was Owl Cafes. There's something wrong about that. I hope they're all closed now.
There was a guy who there was on the South End Facebook group I'm a member of. People were, during the storms, some person who had an owl in a cage, like the cage had fallen over because of because of the storm, and it had escaped, and someone was asking, does anyone see my owl? I was like, why have you got an owl in there? It's a fucking owl. Like, it doesn't come out during the day anyway, does it? I thought it was just an evening sort of kind of animal. I don't know.
I'm not the owl cafe was bad though. You'd go, you know, people go in during the day, the poor things clearly want to sleep, and I've dropped my earphones. But it's karma.
Oh, no.
Karma for the owl cafe.
Exactly.
If you were
an owl, you could just rotate your head 360 degrees and find them again.
If only, Pete. If only. We'll be back, guys, with your questions and comments in the fax machine in just a moment after I've got my headphones.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve
natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Have you ever wondered what happened to all those space-age promises that previous generations thought we'd have by now? You know, heading out for the day on your own personal flying cars or working on a space hotel somewhere in the far reaches of our solar system. Where are all those amazing inventions? Well, we're here to find out more on my new podcast, Where's My Jetpack? I'm Sarah Crudis, space expert, TV host and author. Join me and Luke Moore every week as we look into retrofuturistic tech that never was to decide whether it's still just science fiction or if some of these discoveries are actually a lot closer than you think.
I think we're very close to that happening on an even more regular basis. And what I think is interesting about that, too, is that's going to make the accessibility of getting to space available for more and more people.
So, if you've ever wondered whether we'll one day speak to aliens light years away, or you'll be flying to work on a jetpack, this is the podcast for you.
Think of the car parking spaces. They need to be massive, really wide.
No, the wings can fold up.
Well, they don't exist.
No, some of the cars which were designed had wings which folded up.
Are you happy getting in a plane knowing the wings fold up?
Yeah. Right. I trust engineering.
Trust the science.
Search Where's My Jetpack on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where's My Jetpack is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
And we're back with the fax machine. And before we dive in, I didn't really finish my story, I just realised. We're talking about owl cafes and animals and whatnot. Yeah, the monkey cafe is in Utsunomiya. I don't know if it still exists. It's in Utsunomiya in Tochigi, about an hour north of Tokyo. And I went there with Natsuki years ago. It was one of the first videos we ever made together. And it was really bizarre. Basically, you go in and you order food. And it's like a normal izakaya for the first hour. And then in the second hour, I don't know what a group of monkeys called, a fleet of monkeys came out carrying Oshibori hot towels and beer and would just serve you. And you're like, okay, this is happening. And then they do like these weird dancing and performances. And, you know, it wasn't that bad. The guy clearly loved the monkeys and they loved him. But I don't know. I don't know how I felt about it in hindsight. It didn't help. Natsuki got bit at one point. Which is pretty funny, to be fair. He had it coming.
You can't get shots for that. You can't get shots for a monkey bite, for crying out loud.
Yeah, the monkey was on his shoulder, and he was touching it, and then it just like reached down, just bit his finger off, and it was like the start of 28 Days Later. It was scary. It's like a zombie outbreak.
That's his hands are his business, for crying out loud. He can't cut hair if he's if he's had his claws chomped off by a monkey, for crying out loud. Oh no,
his hands are his business. Poor old Natsuki. Exactly. He recovered though, and that's how the COVID started at that monkey part.
COVID
Natsuki.
Started
all those years ago. What we got there in the fax machine? What stories and comments have we got from our listeners this week and questions?
We got a message from Josevan. Or Josevan? No, Josevan, a university student from Indonesia. I went to Japan for a student exchange in 2017 for 2 weeks, and I stayed in a Japanese household. I was surprised by their culture of sharing bathwater, so I ended up using their showerhead instead. My question is, are there any other unusual bathroom or toilet cultures, etiquettes specific to Japan? So, have I read about this before, where the Japanese generally share the heat of their... Because, I mean, I guess shared baths are like a big thing in Japan, so it probably doesn't feel that weird that you would share bathwater.
Well, the idea is, yeah, you go in the bathroom, you shower first, you use shampoo and soap to clean yourself, and then you get in the bath. So the idea is you've been cleansed, your skin, your hair, it's not greasy. So you're getting in the bath relatively clean when you're sharing the water.
Okay. Right.
I still find it a bit odd, but you know, you do it when you go to an onsen. If you go to a hot spring in Japan, you do that anyway, right? In terms of toilet culture, they have the spray, everyone's favorite spray. The thing I love the most is the heated toilet seats. Every seat is heated in Japan, so in winter you don't get that horrible shocking feeling if you sit down on a toilet. It's glorious, it's warm, it's pleasant. It's like going to heaven. It's amazing. And then you get a bidet afterwards to finish things off. It's great. Toilets are great in Japan. 10 out of 10. You're a fan, right?
I'm a fan. Oh, look, once you start squirting water with your bum, you never go back. And I never have. I think about it every time I do a poo.
Fantastic.
I sit in the toilet. I'm like, Jesus, I need it in my life, man. I need it in my life.
It's pretty cool. Like, yeah, Japan is good with that stuff. Unless, of course, you get one of the old toilets that... It's weird. Like, you go... It's like going between heaven and hell. Like, Japan is the best toilets on earth, hands down. No questions asked. Laser-guided toilets, bidet. Love it. And then in the cubicle next door, you'll have just a hole in the ground. And it's just, like, awful. Absolutely awful. They have definitely phased them out, though. I see them and experience them a lot less. So I'm excited for the future. The future's here. The future is better because there's no shit fucking squat toilets. We got one here from Eileen from Germany. He says, hello there, Captain Chris and Private Pete. My question is, if one of you has ever been camping in Japan, is it such a huge deal or do people hate it? I never really heard about a camping like or dislike before, so I figured I'd ask. Stay amazing, Eileen from Germany. I don't think I have. Have you? You've done lots of obscure things in Japan.
I've not camped. No, I was reading up on it though that there are quite a few campsites in and around quite famous parts of Japan, and there's one scene, I can't remember where it was, but like it's near obviously Mount Fuji, and you can camp on the banks of this kind of like river that you can actually camp and look out of your tent and see the same scene that is on the 1,000 yen banknote, which is quite nice.
Wow.
So like you can sit in this tent and sort of look out and it's the exact same perspective as what you see on 1,000 yen banknote, a scene that's been there for God thousands of years, surely.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've done camping since like the 1990s.
No,
I don't remember the last time I did it. Oh, maybe like 2008 or 2009. I'm not really.
That's the last time festival. That's it.
Yeah, festival. I think I did a festival. Like, I don't really like camping. The only bit I like about camping are the barbecues. And you can do that and then just sleep in your car.
Yeah.
It's much more comfortable and warm. So, yeah, but I like barbecue. I know Norm Takeo Lens, he camps a lot. And I think he was going to go camping with Natsuki at one point, but they cancelled or postponed it to this year. And the Trash Taste Lads went camping as well recently. I was talking to Connor about it. They went to Mount Fuji, and then Connor nearly froze to death because he was too cold, because the temperature just got really cold at night, as it would.
Right.
Yeah, I don't really see the appeal of it. I'm not a fan. But maybe at the right time of year, sometime, you know, like maybe June or September would be really lovely to go camping. When all the bugs are out and all the snakes and all the spiders, it'll be great. We got one here that says, Dear Lord Pete and Master Chris. What's these titles? They get more bizarre every week. My name's Pierre and I'm from South Africa. For some reason, I haven't come across anything about Tokyo and the surrounding area. I've been planning a trip for next year around the end of March for 2 weeks. It may be a lot to ask, but can Pete and yourself please help out with things to do in and around Tokyo? Thank you guys for all the great laughter. Pierre from South Africa. What do you mean you haven't come across anything about Tokyo and the surrounding area? Every guidebook is just Tokyo the movie.
I went to, what makes me laugh is, like, you know, on so the 22nd of the of February, so, you know, a few days ago now, but it just, when I was looking at this email, they're still hilariously putting together the most asinine, basic lists of things to do in Tokyo, just copied and pasted from everywhere else. They're putting them on websites all around the world because they're really popular. They're really popular pieces. People want to go to Japan, but they're just kind of ignoring the fact that, you know, you can't get in. Ignoring the fact that there was a pandemic and stuff. So here's this. It's in Harlem World. I'm not really sure where that is based, but I presume it's Harlem. It's an American website, presumably. And it's six things you must do when visiting Tokyo. Experience a traditional Japanese ryokan. Walk around Harajuku on a Sunday. Go to Roppongi Hills. Visit a traditional Japanese tea ceremony. And visit Tokyo Skytree. So, I mean, this was written so many times.
That's the worst itinerary I've ever heard of. That's such a shit itinerary. Oh, no.
Someone sat down and wrote that, or rewrote another one and put it up there. And it's like... well done to them, but, and I'm sure it's very popular, but it's not like it's not really moved with the times, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty shocking. I've done a pretty bad job doing. I mean, I've cut all my sort of tourism videos out for the last sort of 2 years. I've really reduced them because you know, you feel like a dick, don't you? Being like, oh, in Japan they have this amazing thing, but wait, you can't do it because you can't come here. So I've put all that, all my plans in the gutter. I'd love to do more. Honestly, I would. Japan channel is just a travel channel, really. What is there to do in Tokyo? I don't know. Go to Yokohama. Go to Hakone for a hot spring. Go to Kusatsu, the hot spring. Go to Utsunomiya and see the monkey bar. You know, there's loads of things. And Tokyo is a magical place. I like, you know, I was talking to a friend earlier today about this. Oh, I think it was on the live stream. All my friends, all 7,000 friends, about how, you know, I like to just pick a district or an area and then just sort of walk off and wander around it. And I know you do the same. And I think the best holidays, you have that sort of adventurous self-discovery kind of moment. Like you can do it in Shibuya or Shinjuku or Asakusa, whatever. You go wherever you want, but like just go off and have a wander around, see what you can find. Yeah. I'd say avoid the Skytree. I'm not a fan of the Skytree. There's so many better viewing spots in Tokyo, like Mori Tower, or the Tokyo Metropolitan Government Building, which is free, or Shibuya Stream Tower overlooking the Shibuya Crossing. There's loads of great places. Good. But just go and discover and have some fun. And if you want to go to some more niche, crazy, weird bars, do a bit more research. There are a lot of like themed, interesting bars to go to if you do some homework. But we've talked about a lot of itinerary stuff, though. If you are seriously planning a trip to Japan, guys, I do recommend checking out an episode Pete and I did, I think about 2 years ago now, where we talked about 2 weeks in Japan, the ultimate itinerary. It was one of our most like popular podcast episodes. And in that, we sort of talked about what we would do over a 2 week period. I recommend checking that out. Yeah,
that was fun.
A good one. Yeah, very fun. Very fun indeed.
Very fun.
And of course, when people can come to Japan, like we used to be able to, we'll do more videos and podcasts talking about that. But for now, Thank you for joining us for another fun episode of the Abroad Japan podcast. We'll be back later this week to do it over again, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, enjoy the rest of your week. And we'll see you later this week to do it all over again, right back here on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.